To Faith Cumberland Presbyterian Church in America, good morning. Welcome to another call to worship. This is Pastor Tony. The Bible says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Do you live in total submission to God? He is our Creator. What kind of worship does God accept? The kind of worship that leads you to hear and obey God. Today, God still speaks through His Word. When was the last time God spoke to your heart? When was the last time the indwelling Holy Spirit inspired spiritual change in your living habits? When the Holy Spirit speaks, God's Word will echo in your heart. God wants our worship to increase our awe of Him. He responds to our reverence of Him. God doesn't want us to worship simply for the sake of our saying, "Well, I've done my duty today." No, God wants our worship to inspire us to bask in His presence. Genuine worship leads to spiritual change in obeying the most challenging law of God: love one another as Jesus would love. But can we really love others the way Jesus loved His disciples? They were a rambunctious bunch. Jesus rebuked them quite often, but He loved them dearly. Who do you need to love more? Who are those who irk you the most? You must love them. How difficult is it for others to love you? Love is the principle of life. The Bible says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and with all your mind." How many of us keep God uppermost in our minds and hearts? When we do, we can love others as God loves. This is worship. Happy Resurrection Day to you. What you believe happened on this day will change your life. Do you believe Jesus got up after laying in the grave for 3 days on that Sunday morning? If so, where is Jesus now? How do you know Jesus got up? How can you believe anyone was dead one moment and in the next was alive? Your salvation depends on this biblical truth. I've never met anyone who said, after this life, I don't want to go to heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven. The pimp will tell you, I intend to be there. Drug dealers, murderers, church folks will tell you, I'm heaven bound. But everybody who wants to go to heaven is not walking in the power of the resurrection of Christ. Are you walking in the newness of life that Christ provided for you on this day? We celebrated Easter last year. What are your spiritual gains since then? What spiritual victories are on your account in God's book of life? Are you investing your time and talents in the building of God's kingdom in the earth? This is what Easter is about. Given what Christ has done in your life since last Easter, are you adequately invested in the life of Christ? Ponder these questions as you celebrate the resurrection of Christ. How vital is Easter? It must be more than a religious holiday. If you want to go to heaven, you must believe Jesus is the very Son of God who died for your sins and God raised him from the dead. Important as Jesus dying on the cross was, it was the moment Jesus resurrected that sealed the salvation of all believers. It's easy to say you believe, but does your life bear the marks of your belief? Are you willing to follow in the steps of Jesus? This means you will live as Jesus did, love others as Jesus did, love and serve God as did Jesus. This is the crux of the world's problem. The world at large knows about Jesus, but denies he is the Son of God. To many, Jesus is simply another historical figure. What if those who say they believe Jesus came out of that grave would truly love God who raised Jesus? The world would be a much better place if our living reflected what we believe. Have a talk with Jesus and let him show you where spiritual change is needed in your life. Let this be the day you pick up your cross to follow Jesus into his glory. For a few moments, let's consider this meditation theme, tearing down the barriers to faith. Why do some believe the gospel of the cross and others do not? Why do some seem to trust in the promises of God with little effort, while others remain cold when encouraged to hang on, trust God, or wait for God? Why does a person see only gloom and doom in a given situation, while another, faced with a similar dilemma, patiently expects a breakthrough from God any moment? Consider two medical patients. Both react differently to alarming news from the doctor. Both are naturally alarmed as the doctor softly says, "There is nothing more I can do." One patient loses all hope and mourns. The other heads home, praising God, believing healing is on the way. The truth is, we have faith in some things, but exercise little faith in other crucial matters. If the truth be told, there are barriers blocking our faith. What barriers interfere with your faith? What keeps you from fully trusting God? Whatever troubles are plaguing your life, whether you see doom or gloom or fear the worst, or if you are on the verge of giving up, somebody else is in the same situation, and because of their faith, they are living a victorious life. There is hope for you. Our text for our theme is John chapter 20, verses 19 through 29, starting in verse 26. "And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, 'Peace be unto you.' Then said he to Thomas, 'Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said unto him, 'My Lord and my God.'" Amen. Here is the deal. Thomas is the focus. He is one of the 12 disciples who has walked with Jesus. What happened? A time of testing came. Jesus is put on trial, and all the disciples scatter in fear and hide behind closed doors. When Jesus was crucified, the disciples forgot Jesus told them he would rise again. Jesus then appears to Mary, "Tell my disciples to wait for me in Galilee." That evening, Jesus suddenly appears before 10 disciples while they were hiding. Jesus shows them his hands and feet. A sigh of relief comes over the disciples. But where is Thomas? It so happens Jesus leaves and Thomas finally shows up to meet with the other disciples. They gleefully tell Thomas, "We've seen Jesus. He was here." You would think Thomas would trust his brethren. Not at all. Thomas tells them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and place my finger in the mark of the nails and place my hand in his side, I will not believe." Why do some people believe Jesus came out of that grave, while others flatly reject such a claim? We need answers because we encounter decisions of faith every day, to believe or not to believe. The truth is, we struggle with faith in some areas of life, but not in all. Could it be there are barriers to faith that must be torn down before we can trust God and walk by faith? What are the barriers to faith we must tear down? The first barrier to faith is ignorance. Thomas was absent when Jesus appeared, but it's not an excuse. Jesus told the disciples what would befall him. Were they deaf? Did they simply ignore Jesus? Many are clueless of the spiritual things of God because they fail to get in the Word. They choose to ignore the testimony of those who had a breakthrough with God. Apart from the Word of God, ignorance will block your faith. How do you know what to expect from God? To remove this barrier, you need to get in the Word so you can get a refreshed outlook on life. In the Word, you will be reminded nothing is impossible with God. Thomas had no business disbelieving in the resurrection of Christ. The second barrier to faith is cynicism and skepticism. Thomas was a cynic. In Thomas' mind, the other disciples broke with reality, believing Jesus was alive. The mind of a skeptic rejects the precepts of faith because they are unable to discern the spiritual things of God. Sometimes the cruel injustices of life makes it difficult for us to apply faith in our daily life. The devil exploits the mind of a cynic, blinding the mind to the truth. The devil exploits skepticism when a response by faith is required, such as it was in Thomas' case. The devil manipulates those who reject spiritual truth to accept the devil's lie as the truth. The devil creates barriers to faith when we fail to trust God. The only way to remove this barrier is to pray to God. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Associate with believers who speak and live the language of faith. Third barrier to faith is empiricism. In other words, the show me first mentality. Thomas was a show me first kind of man. He was stubborn, as if to say, God has to show me first. Until then, I won't believe. The empiricist believes only what is physically seen. Thomas would be a good fit for our world. Many don't believe in God since he cannot be seen or heard nor touched by human means. God is not inclined to satisfy our show me first attitude. After all, the Bible says it is impossible to please God without faith. Have you ever smelled an idea, felt a truth, or lifted a thought with your finger? Can your hand reach out and grab the promises of God? Can you smell divine grace? Human senses can take us to the edges of the physical realm, but not beyond. Intellect and faith are not compatible. Human intellect cannot discern the spiritual things of God. The show me first mentality that prevails today can only be torn down by purposely seeking the truth of God as revealed by the Word and the Holy Spirit. My friends, take this with you. After all is said and done, we can only tear down each of our barriers to faith with a renewed mind that hones in on the precepts of God. To excel in faith, your mind must be totally divorced from human ways of thinking and behaving. Faith does not simply drop from the sky for you to catch. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As you hear God's word and obey the word, your faith will grow by leaps and bounds. When you tear down the barriers to faith, then you will come to know faith as the tool by which God urges us by his still small voice. Be still and know that I am God. Father God, thank you for Jesus and his resurrection. Put us on the path to spiritual enlightenment as we strive to tear down the barriers to faith and follow Jesus into his glory. We ask for these moments of worship and reflection to be planted in the good soil of our hearts. May the seed of your word blossom in us into an abundant spiritual harvest for thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen.